morning and welcome to New Life. Would you please stand with us and sing?
Thank you. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend. Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. This here is Shayla, and I'm Rachel, and we will be your hosts this morning. We serve here as GEMS leaders, or as my husband and sons like to call them, girl cadets. We also have some GEMS joining us up here this morning. Girls, did you want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Alina.
Hi, I'm Nadia.
And can you tell everyone what GEM stands for?
Girls.
Oh, everywhere.
Meeting.
Save the Savior.
Later, we will be taking an offering for our GEMS and Cadets programs. If you are a first-time visitor, or maybe you have been here a couple times and want to learn more about New Life, we ask you fill out a Connect card available in the seat pocket in front of you and bring it to the info booth. You will receive a New Life tote bag. Inside of our tote bag is a tumbler and a bag of our Fairtrade Honduran coffee. If you are online this morning, drop a comment and share where you are and who you are watching with. And we hope you can come visit us sometime so you too can get a New Life tote bag.
Our Little Lights, ages 3 to 5, and Kids Church, grades 1 to 5, will continue in worship downstairs. Kids, before you head down, we want to pray a blessing over you and your leaders. So if you are serving in Little Lights or Kids Church this morning, or are going to Little Lights or Kids Church, please come down. And parents, we are going to pray a blessing over you and your time downstairs before we release you. Congregation, please extend a hand over these children and let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these children. We thank you that you have entrusted us to care for them and teach them your word. We know you see each of them and you have something special to say to them today. We also want to bless our leaders. May you give them the energy, excitement, and wisdom they need this morning to lead. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Little Lights and leaders, you can leave out the door on my left and head downstairs. And Kids Church, you can go out the door on my right.
We will be collecting items for the food bank next Sunday. This week, as you are doing your grocery shopping, please remember to pick something up for the Abbotsford Food Bank. The most needed essential items, including pasta, pasta sauce, canned meat, peanut butter, and soup.
Other items, including rice, cooking oil, cereal, coffee, sugar, and size 5 and 6 diapers. Bring these items with you next week if you won't be here next Sunday. These items can also be dropped off during office hours this coming week.
We worship God with an offering today for GEMS and Cadets. These are the boys and girls programs we run here at New Life for grades 3 to 7. We are actually missing our cadets this Sunday because they are away at Rusty Rifle Ranch for their annual cadet camp. Cadets also always participate in the Cub Car races. They spend time building and painting their car, and then they race them. They sent in some videos about this awesome event. Take a look.
Take your hands off, boys.
Some GEMS are here with us in the service, but a lot of our GEMS aren't a part of New Life community. Many attend different churches or don't attend church at all. Because of this, we also wanted to show a video of our GEMS doing the dance to their theme song, which they do each time we meet.
Gems is doing crafts and dancing to songs. You can give your offering electronically in many different ways, or bring it to one of our offering boxes in the front during our fellowship time.
Let's pray for the offering and our Gems and Cadets program. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to meet on Tuesdays to get to know you better and make friends with other kids who love you. We thank you for this wonderful church community who helps us make it possible for us to have all the fun we have with other girls our age. We pray that you continue to do this amazing work through our Gems and Cadets program that helps us to grow closer to you. We pray that you would bless this offering so that it would do good to these programs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Shortly, we will be having a 3-minute fellowship time. We are in a sermon series called Radio Spirituality, where we examine modern songs in biblical context. This week, Janessa is going to be speaking on Taylor Swift's Anti-Hero. We are going to play it during the fellowship time for those who are not familiar with the song. During the fellowship time, we encourage you to meet someone new, and you can also give your offering during this time. Thank you for having us.
There? I don't know. Is that fine?
Thank you.
Thanks. Coffee. Yeah, invited them.
For you? Don't say you have a mic on.
I invited Kelly too. Maybe she's.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to New Life Church. We're happy that you're here. My name is Janessa, if you don't know me, and I'm happy to be up here again sharing God's word with you. And I'm privileged that we have a staff here that allows me to come up here and allows me to preach to you. I feel very honored. If you don't know, we're in a sermon series called Radio Spirituality. And in this sermon series, we take modern songs and artists to see how God's work speaks to us through these pieces of art. We believe and we know that God primarily speaks through the Bible, but he also speaks through our modern culture in different forms of media. Maybe another way to pose this question is, how many times have you picked up your Bible this week versus how many songs you've listened to? Maybe some of us have listened to more songs than read more verses. And God is speaking to us all the time through all the different forms of media that we consume, and our decision is whether we can listen to it. My dad, Pastor Bruce Gritter, started this series off with Drugs or Jesus last week, and they made the mistake of putting us right after one another because we're both very competitive. So if you could tell him that my sermon was better than his sermon, it would make my day, and it would make him just a little bit annoyed. So next time you see him, yours was great, your daughter's was better. Thank you so much. I get the pleasure of speaking on Taylor Swift. I'm the young person on staff, so of course they give me the newest song and the millennial artist, but that's okay. I've started to become a fan of Taylor Swift myself over the past couple months. And there's a game that we played at youth called Taylor Swift or Lamentations. So you have to figure out whether the phrase is a Taylor Swift lyric or a verse from the Message adaptation of the Bible, of Lamentations. So I've roped some people in to come help me play this game, so you guys can come up now, and you can play along as well to figure out whether the verse is a Lamentations verse or a Taylor Swift quote. All right. I've definitely roped some people into this. Some people came willingly. But everyone's going to do well, and you can play along too. Okay, so the first one. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. It's behind you there if you want to read it again. You guys can whisper about which one you think it is as well. You can write it on your board. All right. You see, turn your boards around, please. We got three Lamentations, one Taylor Swift. Okay, it is Lamentations. Lamentations 3. Okay, second one. Well done, well done. Have you ever seen anything like this? Ever seen pain like my pain, seen what he did to me? Turn your boards around. Lamentations. And Taylor Swift. It is Lamentations, actually. Lamentations 1. Okay, number 3. It rains when you're here. It rains when you're gone. All right. Flip your boards. Oh, sorry, John, you're still ready? Taylor Swift. Yes, everyone's right. Taylor Swift. Always and forever. 4. Long were the nights when my days once revolved around you. It is Taylor Swift, dear John. 5. We've been to hell and back. We've nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. Rivers of tears pour from my eyes. I guess you guys can maybe see this. Okay, everyone turn. It is Lamentations 3. Last one. Time turns flames to embers. All right, everyone ready? Turn. It is Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's Innocent. Okay, that's all I got. Can you give him a round of applause? You did wonderful. You want to put your chairs back over there? It's okay. One chair up there is fine. All right. It's fine. I can sit in this chair if I feel like I need to. We just did a youth lock-in on Friday, and so we were up all night, and we were playing Capture the Flag, and I ran right into the stage, so I've hurt my foot a bit, so if you see me, like, limping around, that's why, and we always have a lot of fun, and I'm glad I was the only injury at youth. No one else got hurt, and I got the person, so we won the game. All right. A quick show of hands. Who knows who Taylor Swift is? Okay. Who listened to the song this week? Less people? Okay, all right. So we have 2 more songs in this series. U2's Yahweh and Eric Clapton's Tears of Heaven. Your homework is to listen to those songs. That's all you have to do. So two more weeks, listen to those songs. If you don't know, Taylor Swift, she's 34 years old. Her famous songs are 22, You Belong With Me, I Knew You Were Trouble. She has won Female Vocalist of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Video of the Year, and she currently has 12 Grammy Awards to her name. And the song that I'm going to be speaking on this morning is Taylor Swift's Antihero. Taylor Swift released this song in her 10th album called Midnight in October 2022. Midnight was, in Taylor's words, an album about the emotions that you feel at midnight. The album debuted at 1 in the UK. Antihero spent a total of 8 weeks at the top spot of the Billboard Top 100. An antihero, if you don't know, is a main character in a story who may lack conventional heroic qualities and attributes. This song is a very vulnerable song for her, and that's why I chose it. She sings about her worries and her fears as a person. And there's some lines that I just want to point out to you. 1, I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. 2, I'll wake up screaming from dreaming. One day I'll watch as you're leaving because you got tired of my scheming. And did you hear my covert narcissism I disguised as altruism? What interesting lyrics. And you can see she's kind of speaking about the worst case scenarios in her mind and things that she admits to the entire world that maybe some of us wouldn't admit to our closest friends. No wonder it's a big song. Pretty cool, right? And because of this, Taylor Swift launched a hashtag challenge to her fans, a hashtag antihero challenge to encourage encourage people to identify the anti-hero traits within themselves. Pretty cool. Okay, so that's enough Taylor Swift for right now. We're going to come back to her, don't you worry. But this morning, I would like you to talk about vulnerability. And to do that, I'd like you to read with me Mark 10. You can start, if you have your Bibles, start with me at verse 17. Mark 10. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimonies. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all of these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his word, but Jesus said, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. We are in the second book of the Gospels in Mark, but this story is described in three of the Gospels, Luke and Matthew being the other two. The three Gospels describe him a little bit differently. Matthew describes him as a young man. Luke describes him as a ruler. And all three describe him as rich. So a rich young ruler, that's how he gets that title. So he's rich, he's young, he rules things. He has it all together. And so he goes to Jesus and he asks, "What more must I do to get salvation?" And let's be very clear about what he's asking. He goes to Jesus and he said, "What else can I do to get into heaven? What additional thing? I've followed all these laws. What else do I have to do?" And Jesus responds with, "No, no, no. You have it all wrong. That's not how the kingdom of God works. There's no additional thing for you to get into heaven." What Jesus is doing here is he's simply just putting a mirror up in front of him, and he's saying, "Look at the thing that's taking the space of me in your life. Remove that thing, and then come follow me." And friends, we don't have to add anything to get into the kingdom of heaven. We have to remove the thing that's taking up the space of God, the thing that has become an idol in our life. And to be a follower of Christ doesn't require good deeds or perfectly followed rules. It requires an inward looking to our own sin. It requires to put a mirror in front of you and ask yourself what's taking the space of Jesus. And to do that requires vulnerability. In order to enter the kingdom of God, what is required is vulnerability. And this is what I want to focus on today. So a question. If you knelt in front of God right now, and he put a mirror up in front of your life, what would it look like? Or maybe if you had to write a song about all your insecurities, what would it sound like? What is it? Maybe you spend too much time on a website that you don't want to tell anyone about. Maybe it's using vices like alcohol to ease the tension off the day a little bit too much. Maybe you put your plan for your life ahead of God's plan. Maybe your phone has become your idol. What is it for you? And how often are we like this rich man? We come before Jesus and say, "I will do anything for you, but don't look at the skeletons in my closet. I would give anything up for you, God, but not this one thing. In all truth, I'd rather have this one thing in my life than I would have you in my life." And realize the end of the story, the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus, he walks away from him. The interaction doesn't end with him saying, "Well, that seems like a very reasonable thing to do. I'll get right on it." No, he leaves miserable because he knows he cannot give this one thing up for God. Anything. anything but that, God. I'd give you anything, but just not this. I'd stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. In Christianity, or God rather, calls us to be vulnerable. He continually tells us to be honest, to be open, and to be willing to share our troubles. He created us in the garden, naked and walking with him. But instead, we cover our troubles. Instead, we distract ourselves from our troubles. And instead, we delude ourselves into believing that our troubles are good. And the reason this song is so important, the reason Taylor Swift's Antihero is so cool, is because it's doing the countercultural thing. A woman of her stature, her fame level, should be gathering power and should be hiding her flaws to the world. And we are taught to hide our insecurities from the world and say, look at me. I have it all together. I am not the problem. They are the problem. And in this song, she turns the tables. She goes, I'm broken. I regret the people that I've cut out of my life. I'm worried about people leaving me. I feel too big every time I enter a room. I stay up too late. I'm too fat. I'm a narcissist. I think I'm incapable of love. And this type of vulnerability that says, I fall short, I'm not enough, is the type of vulnerability we should be striving towards. Now, am I saying we should all aspire to be Taylor Swift? No. But God calls us continually to be vulnerable. Vulnerable with God and vulnerable with others. So what does that look like? One, vulnerability with others. Living in a Christian community means that we are vulnerable with each other. And trust me, I know vulnerability is scary, to trust someone, to give them your worries and anxieties and things that you would rather just keep to yourself is scary. I'd rather do it alone. I'd rather shoulder the burden on my own. I think for some, vulnerability is scary as it leaves us defenseless and exposed. Some may think being strong is the only state they're allowed to be in. They'd say, Janessa, when I'm not strong, other people suffer. It's my job to hold it together. It's my job not to need anyone or take up space or need any help. Some may say to me, the difference between outward me and inward me, Janessa, is so vastly different that people wouldn't understand. If people knew what I was like on the inside versus what I was like on the outside, it'd shock them. There's no way I admit that. Or maybe, as Pastor Bruce put it last week, the difference between Saturday night me and Sunday morning me is too different. I'm not melding those worlds together. And I think some of us are unwilling to accept help. And this friend of mine growing up who was struggling with a couple of different things, and we constantly come to her and say, let us help you. Let us shoulder your burdens with you. Let us walk alongside you. And she would constantly say, no. I got it. I can figure it out on my own. Thanks, though. But she was the first one in on Sunday morning. She'd be the first one there if you needed help moving. She'd be the first one to sign up if you needed volunteers. She was so willing to help, but so unwilling to be helped. And in a Christian community, we are meant to help, and we are meant to be helped. And sometimes we get so caught up in the helping that we're just unwilling to accept help. And this is why we continually call you to join a life group, because we are meant to go through life together, sharing and leaning on each other and figuring out what it means to follow Christ. Because you constantly need to hear the words, you are struggling, you are imperfect, but you are worthy of love, and you belong here. And I think you need to hear those words not only from God, but from your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are imperfect, you are struggling, but you are worthy of love, and you belong here. Tell me, do we as a church community call each other to vulnerability? Continually and always. How ironic
that a pop star like Taylor Swift writes more eloquently about the vulnerability that God calls us to have with each other than maybe some of us do currently. Number two, vulnerability with God. And you may say to me, well, God knows everything about me. I'm my most vulnerable with him. And I would say, just like a spouse, just because they know your emotions doesn't mean they don't want you to articulate it to them. God wants to hear what's on your heart. God wants you to have a relationship with him that requires vulnerability. My friend and I often say to each other, vulnerability breeds vulnerability. Meaning, if you are vulnerable with someone, then they are vulnerable with you back, and you create an intimacy, and you build your relationship together by being vulnerable with each other. And I think that is not only true of your relationships with others, but your relationship with God. When you are more vulnerable with God, when you give him more of your life, he reveals himself more to you, and you grow in intimacy with each other. I've been reading this book, Jesus and John Wayne, and he makes the argument that when you perceive God, how you perceive God is how you follow him. It says, quote, when evangelicals define themselves in terms of Christ's atonement or as disciples of a risen Christ, what sort of Jesus are they imagining? Is their Savior a conquering warrior, a man's man who takes no prisoners and wages holy war? Or is he a sacrificial lamb who offers himself up for the restoration of all things? How one answers these questions will determine what it looks like to follow Jesus. Here's the wonderful news, friends. God calls us to weakness. Our human nature tells us that we have to be strong, that we have to have it all together, that we have to gain power and be the best warrior. And our God says, kneel. And our God says, rest. And our God says, turn the other cheek. And our God says, in your weakness is where I shine. Here's the better news. God shows us what it means to be vulnerable. He says, my path is the path not one of a mighty warrior, but a gentle Savior. He showed us when he arrived on earth, not as a king, but as a tiny, vulnerable, fragile baby. And he showed us again when he suffered a criminal's death, when his clothes were torn, when he cried out to his Father, and when he took up that cross and he died for our sins. That, friends, is ultimate vulnerability. And being vulnerable, inviting God and others into our worries and our anxieties and our shortfalls is true strength. God calls us to that, to follow Taylor Swift's example by admitting, it's me. I'm the problem, but my sin and my shame can be wiped away in your name. And that entering the kingdom of God is not by doing enough or being enough, but by giving up control and following the Lord. What a wonderful way of living. Growing up, we had two foster sisters in our family, and one of them had been neglected when she was a baby. She just left to cry for hours on end with no one to pick her up or hold her. And one day, when she was a teenager, she was in a particularly volatile mood and didn't want to listen to anyone. My mom would just pick this teenage girl up. She'd just rock her in her arms. And at the beginning, she would fuss and she would wiggle, but you could just feel her start to relax eventually. And just be held by my mom, this girl who was a baby, just left to cry for hours, just being rocked. And that is the invitation that God calls us to. He calls us to be held in his arms. And we so badly just want to fight and struggle our way out. And God says, shh, it's okay. Come into my arms. Let me hold you. My son, my daughter, let me rock you back and forth. I know you. You are my child. Enough fighting, enough struggling. Let me rock you. Deuteronomy 33:26. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. God is right there. He's calling you into his everlasting arms. Are you willing to come into his arms and be held? Be rocked? To be rocked like a child? I invite you to stand now. And the band can come back up. And I invite you to just extend your hands. And we're just going to pray together. Let's pray. If you close your eyes and extend your hands. God, we admit sometimes we'd rather gain power. We'd rather be strong. We'd rather have it all together. We'd rather not look in the mirror. And God, as an act of vulnerability this morning, we just extend our hands. And then we give you our lives. And we know that in the weakness, that in the brokenness, in the times that we are not strong, that you are. And that you call us to weakness. And much like a small baby, we just accept your invitation to just be held in your arms. What wonderful news that is, that we don't have to do anything or be anything or say anything. We are enough. That we are enough. That we are enough. And that when you call us to moments that we will accept, and that trusting you and trusting others is so hard, but we will walk out on that water, and we know that you'll be there, and your everlasting arms will be there. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together. Thank you.
you were a parent of a